It's not about the size. We see signs all up and down the highway. Size matters, and they want to talk about all of that, and sometimes it has some not-so-good connotations to it. And other times people say size doesn't matter, and they throw that around. But in the case of God, he picked a small little strip of real estate, and it's going to be the whole very focal point of all the contention in the world. And it's amazing to me because it's true. I mean, all you got to do is look and see, and you understand that it's true. Yes, why is Israel there? And it looks like it's an oxymoron. How could this little bit of real estate here cause so much trouble in the world? Mm-hmm. And it's not for the purpose of causing trouble, but it's for the purpose of promoting the glory of God.
Yes, it is.
Kind of like in the case of Gideon. This is somewhat off the subject, but Gideon had too many. Yes, God said, I'm going to send you after the enemy. Right. Gideon said, well, you know, he had like 32,000, I think it was originally. And God dropped it on down until it got down to just a few faithful ones.
Yes.
And it was the few faithful because he wanted everybody to know that when Gideon gets the victory, it's not him who did it. It's me. It's God. And so that's what it really is about. So when we start to see some of these signs, last week we talked briefly about the sign of Israel. That is a sign. Jesus said, when you see the fig tree put forth its leaves, that you know that summer is nigh. And so we've seen that in our time. And now we're looking at today, the sign of the mystery of iniquity. I just want to give you that.
All right.
Today, and we were looking at this in the midweek Bible study, so if you missed it, you'll get a few points on what we discussed there. So first, before we start, I'm going to ask the deacons to read today from Zechariah, from the Old Testament, chapter 12, about 10 verses, and then a few verses that we were able to read on the midweek Bible study from 2 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Verses 1 to 12, we ask you to give them your attention at this time. Amen.
The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of the man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. Mm. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes unto the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness.
Mm.
And the governors of Judah shall say in their hearts, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God.
Mm.
In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearted of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about it on the right hand and on the left.
Mm.
And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem.
Mm.
The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Mm.
And I will pour unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication.
Mm.
And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
My Lord, we have heard the reading of Zechariah chapter 12, the first 10 verses. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his inerrant and holy word. And now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin is revealed, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let it will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen. You heard the reading of the New Testament, the word of the Lord to the people of God. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you, Father. We thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you just for being God all by yourself. We thank you that you have everything in control, Father. We thank you that you have told us things that will come into our life, Lord, and that we might be prepared, that we might not be taken by surprise, Lord, as we watch you do your work in the world. Father, we see men in opposition to what you have said in your word, and they defy you at every point and at every turn. But you have told your people that we might not be taken by surprise when end time events begin to happen. And so, Father, we thank you.
Thank you.
And we give you praise. We ask for more understanding, enrich our understanding, God, more deeply today, that we might be the men and women that you are calling for in these last and evil days. Yes. Let your word be hid in our hearts that we might not sin against you.
Yes.
We ask this in the righteous name of your son, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is a very, very terribly profound set of prophecies. We want to look today just for the sign of the mystery of iniquity. You know, we say it's a sign because this is something that should point you in a direction. So that's what signs are for. We look on the road when we're trying to make it to another city. We rely on the signs that we see. A sign will tell you which way to go and how to get to where you need to be.
Yes.
It'll tell you how many miles are left in the journey.
Right.
It'll tell you all kinds of different things. You start to see ads and signs about what you're going to find when you get to a particular place. Let's say you're heading toward Orlando, and you'll start to see Disney World signs and let you know what's going to happen in Orlando. You'll start to see famous restaurants, different things along the way, and tell you that when you get to Orlando, all these things are waiting on you. There are signs on the road.
Amen.
In much the same way, God has given us prophetic signs in the world so that we can tell where we are in the journey. And that if we notice the signs and obey the signs will allow us to see, in other words, where we are in prophetic history.
Amen.
To me, this is a very encouraging thing, because what I find about God's signs is that when he tells you a thing, you see it, and it comes up, it'll pop up in the news. It's like, well, how'd you pull that off? You know, a lot of times people want to tell you stuff and you don't have a way to prove it or see that it's true. But when you and I look at what God has said in his word, it should give us strong confidence that he knows what he's talking about. And that's the reason why people trust God, is that they're able to take his word and you have faith in what God has said.
Amen.
It's the word itself that anchors me and you to the truth, and it keeps us and gives us confidence. We've talked about that in times past.
Yes.
But then you look and you see another thing in the world. You see faithlessness in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You see people who don't believe. You see people with all kinds of trouble, and you wonder what's going on with this. Why? What's up with all this evil? It seems like the world gets more and more evil, more and more wicked day by day. And the truth of the matter is, it really is. The Bible said that evil men shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so God gives you a warning. The signs even tell us that when you see the evil going on like that and it starts to escalate, this is a sign from God. It could be a sign of his judgment, because God gives people over sometimes to their own devices. When they insist they want to live a certain way and ignore what God has said, God will give you over to that.
Yes, he will.
And allow you to do that thing until you decide, because he'll show you that your philosophy about how that is not right. And I've been calling you to come away from it.
Yes.
But if you won't come away from it, then fine, I'll give you over to it. And that's judgment. So when you start to see a society like ours, where we start to legalize the stuff that the Bible tells us is not good, then that lets you see their conscience is now already shot. They're past the point of feeling, and they just want to feel better. So in order to do that, we'll legalize a thing and make it legal. And so that's why you see the legalization of marijuana, prostitution, gambling, all these kind of things that are vices in people's life. And the government doesn't care. To them, it's a monetary thing. And it's something to keep peace among the people. If y'all want to do that, they'll give you peace. So they'll let you do that. And so many things, same-sex marriage, we can go on and on, watching the spiral downhill. And the sad mistake with our country is that we are should be a very, very knowledgeable country with history, because God blessed this country more than he has any other civilization in the history of mankind. There's never been a civilization blessed like the United States of America in the existence of the world. Until America, there were no telephones, there were no radio, there was no TV, there was no anything that we take for granted today, no computers. There were very few people had indoor plumbing with running hot and cold water, you know, in history past. I mean, people had some makeshift things, but we ought to realize this country has been blessed hand over fist, you know, in its entire existence. And at first, it was a country that at least said we are a God-fearing country, even though not everything we did was right. We still tolerated slavery and certain things that were beneficial to their prosperity financially, and that was wrong, and so they overlooked a few things. But now it's gotten to the place where they overlook a whole lot of stuff. And then we begin to prostitute ourselves with other gods and other nations by trying to give equal place to things that say they're God, but really they're not. You know, and so that's where we are now. We flipped the Constitution on its head and said it's not a thing that is given for a free people who acknowledge their God in order to keep reverence and peace in the world, which we declared against England when we departed from them as a nation. A long time ago, we declared our own independence, as we call it, in 1776. And so we think we have now turned independence into a license to commit iniquity.
Amen.
You see,
amen.
And the whole rest of the world is looking at it going, wow, you know, great America, and that's the best you can do? You know, and I'm not really into politics myself. I'm going to let you know now, this may sound political, what I'm saying, but what I'm into is the truth.
Amen.
I love what God said.
Amen.
I love what God is doing. I love what God is going to do. I love everything about the Word of God. They dismissed the Word of God 50 years ago, or a little more. They dismissed prayer. They said, we don't want God in the middle of everything. Why? Because it convicts our conscience. Makes me know that what I'm doing is not right. See, it's something telling me, it's like pouring a little alcohol on a cut or a wound. It stings when I hear what God said. But it stings you for a good reason. Just like when you cut yourself, you want to put some methylate or some alcohol to keep it from becoming infected so you don't get sicker and die. You know, the Word of God was like that. It's like a suppressant to stop the culture from going wild and doing anything. You see, and so now we are proud of our sin. We have digressed since we dismiss God, and the church basically is supposed to be the conscience of the community.
Amen.
You know, that's why the Constitution said leave the church alone. Amen. Really, the First Amendment is against the government to stop the government from doing anything to suppress the church.
All right.
That was the reason of it. Now they flip that on its head and say then, you know, they come against the church. Instead of it being, it says Congress shall make no law favoring an establishment of religion, nor preventing the free exercise thereof. So the restraint is on Congress. It's not on me.
Yes.
It's not on the church. Congress shall make no law. It's telling Congress, keep your hands off of God's church. That's what it says. So they flip that on its head now, see? And they make it act like, oh, well, that means we're not going to try to help the church. No, it was not. You don't have nothing to do with the church. The church is not your business. Leave it alone. You know, and I don't care what they do myself. I'm going to let it be known right now. And I don't care what you do. That's probably why Paul went to jail. And the rest of them. And I don't care what you do. I'm going to preach the word. If you don't like it, you have no control. You shall make no law all hindering me from what God has told me I must do. And I'm going to do it whether they like it or not. Because you know what? The Bible says, let God be true, though, every man a liar. You know, and the Constitution says, Congress leave the church alone. I'm going to put it in common English. You know, so the church is going to preach the real church. The false church can be bought. They can be prostituted just like everybody else. And they'll say what thus saith the politicians, but I'm not into that.
All right.
I'm into what the word says. But when you see evil in the world, this is the thing we want to talk about to get back on our topic. The sign of the mystery of iniquity. What does that mean? Now, Paul exposed it to the Thessalonians back here in 2 Thessalonians. And the very existence of evil is a troubling thing to most people. We're all troubled. We're troubled by all the loose iniquity. Little babies, 9 years old, getting shot in their mother's house, doing their homework, minding their own business. That's troubling. If you're not troubled by that, something's wrong with you. You know, and then cowards running off, don't even want to man up. You did it, man up. You know, if you did it, man up.
Yes.
You know, you had the gall to do something like that. Be man enough to take the medicine. You know, finally they find him after so long. And so much of this kind of stuff, people were getting carjacked. Folks minding their own business. And then we see, looks like iniquity is getting out of control. Let me define iniquity. The Bible says iniquity is the inborn proclivity for fallen sinners to do wrong. In other words, we have a tendency to do wrong. There's something in us. It doesn't mean we're 100% no good. Although the range goes from a small amount of sin to a larger amount, depending on your conscience, you know, and nobody is free from iniquity. Everybody has some iniquity to deal with in their own life. But what about when iniquity starts to run rampant?
All right.
When you start to see it getting uglier and uglier and more gross. Folks popping in, shooting up people and all this kind of thing. They said something about some guy who shot a state trooper in the head while he was putting gas in his car. No apparent reason, just came up to him and took him out. Stuff like that. When you see lawlessness and iniquity running wild, what is that? Paul says it's the mystery. The word mystery in the Greek is mysterion. It means something that you have to have a spiritual mind to understand. Simply put, that's what the way we would understand it, mysterion. It means something that the Spirit of God will open up to you that you can understand. The gospel is a mysterion. There's a mystery of the gospel. See, you cannot understand the gospel unless God gives you the ability to understand.
Amen.
He wants you to understand it, so God opens up mysteries to those who love him. And he conceals things from people who don't love him. That's why Jesus taught with parables. A parable is a way of revealing the truth to a person who believes and concealing the truth from a person who doesn't.
Amen.
It does both at the same time.
Amen.
So these are things that we need the Holy Spirit to understand. No man can come to me, Jesus said, except the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. That's what Jesus said. You know, and so he calls us. You did not choose me, John 15:16 says. I chose you, and I ordained you that you should go forth and that your fruit, and that you should bear much fruit, and your fruit shall remain. You know, so that's the kind of thing Jesus said. He says, and you know what? The real mystery is God wants them all understand.
Yes, he does.
You know, and the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what happens if you get the Congress or the church to be in cahoots with the Congress, put a muzzle on the church? Then what? What are you going to get then? Who's going to get saved? Nobody. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to go. And the commandment from Christ that we call the Great Commission is to go ye therefore. That means people who trust me, believe me, that I have opened up the mystery of the gospel to you and to all the world. That means everybody around the planet. I don't care if it's not politically correct.
All right.
For you to tell a Muslim that you're going to hell and you need Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There's one way for you to be saved. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. See, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the truth. So we need to tell people the truth. They can't get saved if you don't tell them the truth.
Amen.
But he said, go in all the world and teach all the nations.
Right.
Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we have a great teaching mission. But the mystery of iniquity wants to suppress and arrest the voice of the church. And you and I, we will not let that happen.
Yes.
We will not. I talk about it all the time. People get a little hot around the collar. I don't care. That's too bad. You need to hear what God says.
Yes.
You know, and I'm going to tell you what he says, because that's what you called me. God called me to do that.
All right.
And so I don't have a problem with it. I'm going to tell you with a smile. But we worry about the increase of iniquity, the wickedness of people getting more and more and more and more every day. You hear about more and more heinous things every day. And Paul says this to the Thessalonians. Let's just look at this one verse, then I'll take you backwards. He says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 that we had read there. Let's just look at the beginning of this text. I want you to see something here. He says, now we beseech you. That means we plead with you. We beg with you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now, that's a time period that we would call today, according to modern theology, the rapture of the church. People looking forward to Christ coming back to restore the kingdom.
Yes.
This began when soon as Jesus left.
Amen.
He said in Acts chapter 1, and the apostle said to Christ after he risen from the dead, Lord, is it at this time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has put into his own hands, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. He told them both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He says, I have a mission for you guys. You don't understand. It's not for you to know that end time when I'm coming back. But it is for you to be empowered with my spirit that you can carry the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. So that's the purpose of the church. Shortly after that, Jesus ascended into heaven. We talked about that last week just a little. He was taken up out of their sight. They watched him go away. And the angels came and told them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up into the space? That same Jesus which was taken from you shall return in like manner as you have seen him go. Ever since then, the church has been looking for his return. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. See, so Jesus left them in anticipation. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again. See that? And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so they're looking. When is he coming back? They knew he had all power. They knew he could do anything but fail. They knew he was God, that they had experienced God in the flesh. John says in John 1:14, the word became flesh, the promises of God, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, they knew he was God in the flesh. And so when he left, they were looking for him to come back. The Thessalonian church got the message. They heard that they were willing to put away their idols. It says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And he says, and wait for his son from heaven, says there.
Amen.
You know, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Everybody understood that faith in Jesus Christ delivers you from God's wrath. See, it's important that you know that. There's nothing else that we can do on earth to be delivered from the wrath of God except trust in Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. If you do that, the Bible says you shall be saved. You know, just as the Jews, they didn't understand that Passover thing when they were told, take a lamb and bring him in, slash his throat at twilight, take the blood and paint the lintel and the doorpost. They were making a bloody cross out of the lamb who was slain.
Yes.
They didn't quite get that, but it was a mystery. And God said, if you do it, the angel of death will pass over you. You see? And so basically, they were looking for redemption, a deliverer, somebody to bring us out. Jesus came, and John 1:29 said, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He came, he was crucified, he died on the cross, got up out of the grave, showed them for 40 days after the resurrection that he had defeated death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
And then he commissioned them to send them out into all the world to teach the gospel to every creature, to baptize and teach. That's what the church is supposed to do. Then he went up to be seated at the right hand as the great high priest who entered into the last veil, the writer to the Hebrews says, where he is there making intercession for me and you. Isn't that wonderful news? He goes up, he pays the sin debt, defeats death and hell and Satan on earth, gets out of the grave, commissions the church, and he is now seated at the right hand of God. You know, making intercession for me and you, keeping our account clean no matter what goes on earth. So when you see iniquity on the rise, you know, it started against the church right then and there. Hostility from the Jews who were legalists. that thought you could be saved by works
yes.
began immediately to be perpetrated against the disciples.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody who believed Christ, they begin to hate them and scourge them and
yep.
beat them and kill them and lock them up.
Yes.
There was severe persecution that broke out because of the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then in our country, we came here on a premise, just to bring us up to date, and we came on the premise that God should not be suppressed. That they came saying, we're going to take this gospel into the new world where it's not being dominated by the government, which is what was going on in England.
Mm-hmm.
The church had been prostituted with the government.
Right.
They were together working against the people instead of giving the truth of the gospel. And so people came here to settle in America to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
And the gospel went forth as a rushing mighty wind early in our history. But as God began to pour out prosperity on America and build her up financially in the world to become the greatest empire in the history of time, then all of a sudden, well, we don't need God now. Look what we got. We got skyscrapers.
Amen.
You know, we have technology.
Yeah.
We have science.
Yeah.
You got all of that, and you didn't have nothing when you came here.
Yeah.
You know, but God, that was the only thing you had.
Yeah.
Now you dismiss God, and you want to go around talking about, how can we end the violence? How can we stop the killing? Well, you can't do it like that. You know, people's hearts are corrupted and they have no more conscience. The moral conscience of our community was stripped away and people are being raised with no knowledge of God, no conviction whatsoever. The only thing that suppresses iniquity, the only reason any of us in here are not way worse than we are is we had an intervention with God at some time in our life. God showed you how heinous you are. And he showed you how loving I am, how much I love you. And I gave my son for you, so you don't have to be like that. You can be better than that. You can be filled with my spirit. I can give you conviction. My word can cleanse your mind and your life and make you a better man and woman than you've ever been. And when we had that encounter, we started to live that way. Some of our ancestors lived that way. I can think back to my grandparents. They lived that way. It was kind of bad back then, but it's worse now 50 years later. With no Bible, no word of God, no prayer in the schools, the God not in the center of the culture. The culture has went way downhill over that 50-year period. It won't get fixed with a bunch of signs and people singing songs. That's not going to do it. Kumbaya is not going to fix it. I guarantee you. What's got to happen is the gospel has got to get back into people's life and in their hearts. It's the only thing that can fix it. False religion is not going to fix it. All these things that people are trying are like putting a band-aid on a cancer. Just will not fix it. And so we are troubled by the existence of evil that we see, and we see it rising, it's going up. And this is what Paul told the Thessalonians is the mystery of iniquity. The sign that the world is going into deeper rebellion against the truth, which is God's word, lets us who have believed God know to make preparation for the things spoken of in the word of God, knowing that one of God's primary reasons for allowing sin is to give people whom he loves an opportunity to accept his son and the sacrifice that he gave for their sins rather than giving them the judgment that they deserve. Do you know God doesn't want to judge anybody? And this is how you know. I'm going to give you one good reason right now. God does not want to judge anyone. He doesn't because he loves all the people he made. If you can hear my voice, God loves
Amen.
You.
Yes, he does.
You know, he would rather give you mercy than to give you judgment. That's because he is a God of love.
Glory,
you know,
hallelujah.
He would rather give you mercy.
Yes.
How do we know? He put his hand open on the table. You don't know. I'm not hiding anything. I sent my son right into the midst of humanity.
Amen.
You found him guilty. You found something wrong with him with your twisted mind.
Yes.
You made him a criminal. And you crucified him, put him up on the cross, and you think I didn't know about it. I knew you were going to do it already.
Right.
Wrote it down in the book.
Right.
So when Jesus came, he already knew it had been prophesied in the prophets that he would come and he would be rejected and despised and afflicted and even spit on. His hands and feet would be pierced. All of that's written in God's word.
Amen.
I know what you evil people will do. When I come among you, you'll find something wrong with me and hang me on a tree. He even wrote, and cursed is he who hangs up on a tree, was written in his book in Deuteronomy. They did exactly what he said. They didn't even realize they were fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, they were.
While they were crucifying the Son of God, lifting him up between heaven and earth. But God did that. He said, now, you know what? I'm showing you mercy.
Yes.
This is mercy. Jesus Christ crucified, the Lamb, lifted up on the lintel and on the doorpost, the blood of the spotless lamb that was shed for the sins of many. God put that right in the middle of human history, and now he put it in the middle of your calendar. Jesus Christ, my son. You really can't neglect him. You know what? He loves you. That's the reason he does
it. Yes, he does.
And when people continue to sin against the truth, then he says, I'm going to turn you over to your own devices. You want to do that? Okay.
Watch out.
I'll let you do it. But it's a dangerous place to
yes,
go.
It is.
And your iniquity sometimes will take you out. You know, and then he has no choice but to judge you. But you resisted his love and his mercy all the way down to the last minute. And God was giving you how many years? 50, 60, 70, 80 years sometimes. To turn around. And I put my son in the middle of the world, so you can't really reject him or deny him. But people do it anyway. And so what I wanted you to see, when we see things like last week, the sign of Israel, Israel's coming back into the middle of everything in the world. They're planning to build a temple. The temple has been destroyed. Jesus told them it was going to be destroyed in AD 70, and it was. It was torn down and dismantled. There hasn't been one there since. Now they're planning to put one there. There had to be one there for these verses to be true. Because notice what it says here, looking on in this Thessalonian letter. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day of the Lord shall not come. Verse 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, 2-3. He says, except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. That's the Antichrist. So the church is going to fall away first, which we see a lot of that in our day.
Amen.
Churches don't care much about prophecy. They don't care much about making the gospel plain. A lot of them don't. I know there are a lot of them who do. You know, God has probably 7,000 who have not bowed and need a Baal. But we know there's a lot of foolishness going on in the name of the church also.
Yes,
and so we want to distinguish between that foolishness and the raw truth.
Amen.
He says this person who the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God. You know what? That's what Satan always wanted to do, to be like God.
Yep.
If you read the I wills of Satan in Isaiah and Ezekiel, he says, that's what I'm trying to do, is ascend and be worshiped like God. And so here it is. He comes in the form of a man. So he is the incarnate Antichrist.
Yes, he
but
is.
He is going to be mistaken by all the people, the workers of iniquity, to be the Christ. But the real Christ has already come and been crucified, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace.
Yes.
He has already been published in all the world, set in the middle of the calendar, in all of their life. But yet this man is going to come and make people think he is the Christ. The Jews who are apostate and falling away from the truth right now, who have rejected Jesus for 2,000 years, will be misled in the last days. He will come into this temple that they're just about to build now and set himself up in there to be worshipped. Many will believe him, even Gentiles, fallen people, because now they're starting to be washed out and saying, you know, let us all just get together and love one another. And they think that kind of love and the kind of stuff they're doing now is going to really bring them peace. But there's only one way you can have peace with God. And that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so people are going to be deceived. But I want you to see the turnaround of Israel. Here, Paul goes on to tell them that that this man will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not, he said, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that which withholdeth. In other words, they know the Holy Spirit, who is the restrainer. He stops all the things from happening until it's the right time. The Holy Spirit is holding back the Antichrist from sitting on that throne until everything is in place. The temple will be built. It will be sanctified with the red heifer. There will be a normal sacrificial system started up again. The Antichrist will come into that temple and take a seat there and be demand that he be worshipped after he has fixed all the problems with the world. He is going to show signs and wonders in the latter days that he is a financial genius. There's going to be a one world system. You will not be able to buy nor sell without the mark of the beast. The Bible says, and that time is coming. You and I need to make preparation. So we understand when we see things going on the way they are, God already wrote it down. It's in the book. And so we need to understand that. So we don't be, as he says, that you don't be soon shaken in mind in verse 2, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter asked from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. Because it can't be until all these things happen. See, so he's telling us, well, you have to see all this happen. Verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's working in the world now. There's a mystery of iniquity. It has to run its course. God is allowing sin to run its course. Yet at the same time, he's given the church the duty and the, the opportunity to preach his mercy and his gospel, that his son has already come, so that people don't have to become subject to this, which is coming up on the world. He says, and then he says that for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, he says, yet he, that he might be revealed in his own time, he says, only when he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit will allow this until God pulls him back. And that's just like him saying, okay, y'all want to do that? Fine.
Wow.
I'll let you go. Wow. I'm going to take my restraining influence off of you and let you be as wicked as you want to be.
Wow.
So we haven't even seen but the tip of the iceberg of wickedness. You know, it's going to get worse. That's why he said, evil man shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He says, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. It says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the end of the Antichrist. God is going to speak him right out and take him out of power. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. See that? With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, they perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. God's word is the truth. If you love it and receive it, it will bless you. But these people did not love the word of God. They did not love the truth, and that they might be saved. That's the difference between the saved and the lost. Verse 10. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion. See that? You don't want to believe the truth? You've had it all your life? Then go ahead and believe a lie, like he did to Pharaoh in Egypt. That they should believe a lie. It says here that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See that? So people are heading in that direction. So you and I need to know that. But that's where we're going. It's not us, but those who don't believe and continue to resist God's mercy.
Yes.
Now, what I wanted you to see here, just as we prepare to close, we've only got a couple of minutes, is Zechariah chapter 12. This was written centuries before Christ came, actually over 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens. I am the real God that layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem, notice that, a cup of trembling unto all people round about when they shall be in the siege. People are going to have a siege against Jerusalem, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. That's the southern kingdom. That would have been the kingdom that remained faithful, that was known also as the house of David. Okay, we don't have time to talk about all that today, but it's a fascinating study. We may talk about later on in the week.
Amen.
And I will make in that day Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces. See that? Though all the people of the earth be gathered against it. There's coming a time when all the allies of Israel will turn against it. You know, even that small little bit of real estate that you see there.
Yes.
In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment. Now, any horse that comes with them, they'll wonder, why is this not working against Israel? And his rider with madness. And then he goes on to say that I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. God says there's going to be supernatural intervention when they try to set shut my people down.
My Lord.
And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. There's going to be a turning back to God.
Yes.
From the covenant people. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood. And like a torch of fire in a sheaf. Imagine that, some dry wood with a fire in the middle of it. It's going to be a terrible thing.
Wow.
When the retaliation of God comes up on the people who assault the covenant people. So God will begin to protect them again in the latter days, as he has always done. Now they have rejected him, but he says, I will continue to protect them.
Yes.
And it's going to be a supernatural intervention in the latter days. He says, the Lord, notice this, he says in verse 6 again, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Now, that's a big prophecy because Israel's having a lot of trouble with the land right now. But God says, I'm going to turn them back over right into the city of Jerusalem. Right now in Jerusalem, should you go there today, there is a Mosque of Omar built right on the spot where the temple used to be. A Muslim temple is sitting on that spot right now. It has the Dome of the Rock, which has an image of Satan on it, sitting right there right now. And that's to fulfill the prophecy of Jesus. Jesus said that Jerusalem shall be trodden under the feet of Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So when we see this trend shift and suddenly Israel is allowed to put their temple back on the Temple Mount, that should let us know what's going on. And they're planning to build it now, so there's some interesting things in the news. I get just, even though there's iniquity, I can find a reason to praise God and thank him, because I can see what he's doing right now in the midst of all this. And in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David. In other words, the most feeble one among them will be like King David in the sight of God. And the house of David shall be as God. See that? As the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations. That's Gentiles, that word in the Hebrew, that's translated nations, that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, he says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me. Notice that? Me. That's God speaking. Whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. That's his son. As one and mourneth for his only son. That's God's only begotten son, Jesus Christ. In the prophecy of Zechariah. And shall be in bitterness for him. As one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. See that? Right there in their book. Been in there for years. They're going to turn to Christ in the latter days and be saved. So seeing the events taking place in Israel and knowing that the whole world is cruising toward being against God's chosen city, Jerusalem, along with the reality that the unbelieving Jews are planning in the planning stages right now of setting themselves up for the third holy temple, which is spoken of in the scriptures, is proof that the word is true. And if you are not saved, you need to be saved right now while there is yet time. If there's anybody who hasn't accepted Christ, I hope that these scriptures, if you run them down, you will find that God has predicted already the events that we're seeing right now in the news. If you're not saved, it's time to get on board. If you are saved, you ought to be thankful.
Oh, yes.
So God opens your eyes and shows you what he's doing.
Oh, yes.
So even though you see iniquity all around you, it won't take you out. And if it does, you don't really have to worry about it. I'm just going to put it like that. I can't say that it won't take you out. A lot of times people serve in God. There you go. But that's what the Psalms 37 says. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. Neither be ye envious of the workers of iniquity.
Yes.
But they shall soon be cut off. He says it's going to be time they're going to be cut off. And God is going to do what he has already said. It's in the word. So I know that was a deep lesson there today.
Oh, yes,
but understand, God has everything mapped out. CNN,
yes,
you don't have anything fresh. God has already wrote your story.
Amen. Amen.
He got the scoop a long time ago. Y'all think like a breaking news that the temple being built in Jerusalem. No, God wrote that through the prophet.
Amen.
Right.
Hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All you're doing is reporting what he already
right.
said.
Amen.
You know, we see that coming up now, but how do we know? It's in the book. That was in there. I love that. It's been in there all my life. You realize that the Bible's been in your life ever since you were born.
Amen.
Before you were born.
Yeah.
Your parents were reading it before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so every word of it is already tested. And it's
mm-hmm.
true. The thing is, when you come to see what's in there and realize the power of it, then you can know that power is available for you. God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He would rather give you mercy than judgment, whoever you are. So we extend an invitation to those who may want to be saved. If you are not saved, we ask you to come. And if you are saved and you would like to bring your membership to St. Timothy, we ask you to do that at this time.
Amen.
And basically, if you come, you can come by letter. Any way you come, just make sure you come. Make sure you are covered.
Yeah.
Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Let us have a closing word of prayer. God, we bless you, we praise you, and thank you for that powerful word, Lord. You have a powerful word, and you have told us things that are coming upon the world, Lord, and when we see it, we see the news taking shape like that right now. Thank you, God, for preparing us and giving us faith to trust and believe in every word that you have said. You say it's easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or tittle in any wise to fail. You say that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. So, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the true peace that will come when they come and embrace and understand you, giving your son, Jesus Christ,
when the Antichrist has been vanquished and taken out of service, O God, and that your Son is exalted in all the earth. We bless you now, Father. We give you praise. We thank you for the word that we've heard today. Father, we pray you make us better men and women of God. Teach us to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
And we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory.
Yes.
We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
To whom be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. And the saints all say together,
amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for
your attention.
Amen.
And we dismiss. God be with you. God be with you. God be with you until we leave again. Oh, God be with you. God be with you. God be with you until we leave again. Mm-hmm.